So Pastor David is on a deserved vacation this week, and so naturally, this was the week for our stewardship sermon, and I'm here, which everybody loves. Let's talk about money. Though if I'm being honest, I think my job today is less about trying to get you to give money to the church, which is important. It's an important part of being a part of the body of Christ to support the ministry of the church. But I think my job today is really more to talk with you about God, about life with God, the love of God. And really, something tends to happen to us when we're exposed to this kind of good news. The love of God always calls us into faithfulness, to respond in love just the same. And our stewardship of our resources, our time, our finances, it's about nothing less than that. Our response to the love of God. Our scripture this week, it's from the book of Deuteronomy, from chapter 6, verses 1 through 9. Now this is the commandment, the statutes and the ordinances that the Lord your God charged me to teach you to observe in the land that you are about to cross into and occupy, so that you and your children and your children's children may fear the Lord your God all the days of your life and keep all his decrees and his commandments that I am commanding you, so that your days may be long. Hear, therefore, O Israel, and observe them diligently, so that it may go well with you, and so that you may multiply greatly in a land flowing with milk and honey, as the Lord, the God of your ancestors, has promised you. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your might. Keep these words that I am commanding you today in your heart. Recite them to your children and talk about them when you are at home and when you are away, when you lie down and when you rise. Bind them as a sign on your hand. Fix them as an emblem on your forehead and write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. A scripture today is one of the foundational scriptures for us as Christians. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your might. It's such a foundational passage for us that when Jesus was asked what the greatest commandment was, he cited this scripture, love the Lord your God. And of course, another like it, love your neighbor as yourself. If we don't really know much of anything else about the Bible, this is the place to start. Love the Lord your God. Love. Love is a loaded word, if there ever was one. A word misused and confused. Though it is the right word, the only word that's appropriate for such a significant calling upon our lives. Love. Love the Lord your God. If you listen to the radio too long, you'll likely find that about every other song on the radio is talking about love in some way or other. There's a ton of love songs, some of the greatest hits. We know some of them by heart, I'm sure. But usually most of them, none of them are really about love in the real, in the truer sense of the word. In my preaching class in seminary, we were talking about weddings and what to talk about with couples who are getting married. And my preaching professor reminded us of this scene from the Fiddler on the Roof. I don't know if you've seen it, but this scene kind of gets at the heart of this love that we're talking about. And in the musical, Tevi, the Jewish man in the household, he says to his wife, he says, my father and mother said that we'd learn to love each other. And now I'm asking, do you love me? Do you love me? And she replies, I'm your wife. I know, I know, but do you love me? And she says, for 25 years, I've washed your clothes, and cooked your meals, and cleaned your house, given you children, milked the cow. For 25 years, I've lived with you and fought with you and starved with you. If that's not love, what is? If you're in a relationship for long, then you know there's times when you're upset or you're mad or annoyed. And simple feelings of love can fall short. What really gets you through those times is something more, when love is bigger and deeper, more difficult than the radio makes it sound. The pastor Douglas Hare commented on this scripture, and he suggests that in an age when the word love is greatly abused, it's important to remember that the primary component of biblical love is it's not sentimental or affection, but it's commitment, it's action. He says, warm feelings of gratitude may fill our hearts as we remember all that God has done for us, but it is not warm feelings that this command of love demands of us, but rather it's a stubborn and unwavering commitment to God. It's commitment to God. We're given this command from God to fully love God. And it's for a really good reason for us. It's not because God is needy or demanding, but because God knows people and loves people and knows what's best for us. He's trying to show us what's best for us. Michael Lindvall, preaching on this scripture, he offers us an image of the reason that God gives us these kinds of commands to love God in this case. He says, imagine you are an 8-year-old boy or girl who has just opened their big birthday present. And it's a big and complicated toy that comes with 36 pages of instructions in French and Spanish and English words and then the words "some assembly required." And with excitement, you rip open the toy and out of its packaging, and mom says, "Slow down, let's sit down and read these instructions. I'll show you how it works." And you answer, "No, I want to do it myself." And you trot off behind the couch, leaving the directions in dad's lap. And in 20 minutes, you're back, angry and frustrated, on the edge of tears. The thing doesn't work. Nothing fits right. One piece is already busted. And Lindvall continues, he says, "You and I have been given one very precious and complicated gift in our precious lives, lived in a complicated world. Our first temptation," he says, "is to try to assemble life all alone and make it work all by ourselves. And we may seem to get it together for a moment, but then something goes wrong. We struggle to figure the thing out, what plugs into what where all the odd little pieces go, and it only gets more frustrating that the stupid thing doesn't work right. Nothing fits. But the really good news is that God gave us instructions too. In fact, there's a patient parent sitting on the other side of the couch holding the directions ready to hand them to us, even willing to get down on the floor and show us how to put the thing together right. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your might. These are God's instructions for us. This is a wholehearted commitment that calls upon our whole lives, upon our time and our talents, our treasures. That is the love in action that God's talking about here. This is so important for us. The scripture is saying that you need to make sure that it's at the center of your life. Recite it at the beginning of the day and at the end of the day. Wear it on your hand or on your forehead, it says in verse 8. Inscribe it on your doors and your gateposts. Teach it to your children. make sure it's at the center of your life and commitment and action. This is how we become the people that we're meant to be, that God calls us to be. Love the Lord your God. And so what's at the center of our lives? What's at the center? We might ask ourselves. And sometimes it can be a little hard to tell what is at the center for us. I heard a pastor say that one way to tell what is really at the center for us is to pay attention to the little rules that we make for ourselves. They may be formal rules or more informal ones like put 15% of your paycheck into savings or always be home in time to read for the kids. Just little rules. What's at the center? What really matters for us? I may say it's my kids that are at the center, the most important for me, but with all the missed suppers, trips away from home, I hope they can tell. We may say it's our faith that's at the center, God at the center, but wonder down the line if anybody would really notice anything all that different about us because of it. What's at the center for us? The theologian Dallas Willard would often say that what matters in life is not the accomplishments you achieve. What matters is the person that you become. The person you become. How we slowly grow our hearts, our souls into the people that we're meant to be. Our world doesn't often teach us how to really pay attention to what matters. But this is what God is trying to teach us. This is what matters. I had a friend named Larry from one of my old churches. And he was kind of a surrogate grandfather for me. And I would go out and I would see him and he'd take me around and show me around the farm. And it became a sort of home away from home for me when I was little. And he lived till about 80 years old or so. And really, he never did anything too extraordinary. He just raised his kids. He loved his wife. He took care of his little farm, and he served the church. He lived in his little house just outside of Norwalk, Iowa. He never had a great big house or bought an expensive car, never really traveled too far. But what he did steadily. He gave of himself faithfully. He did what he could in life in love of God as best as he could, loving well all those he came across, giving always what little help, what little love he had to give. And what seems small, a little here, little there, it really isn't so small when you add it all up in the end. Just a little here, a little there. At the end, it's not so small. It wasn't to me. And so when he died not so long ago, the church knew what kind of man he was, and so they showed up, and that church was packed. It's filled up full with all the people who knew and loved him, who he had loved, people like me and my family and all those he had touched along the way with a little here, a little there, all along the way with his love, his generous spirit. Jesus said that this is the greatest commandment. Love the Lord with all your heart, soul, and might. Love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus didn't go around abstractly preaching this kind of thing for us to follow. He wasn't throwing around commandments as if they have no basis in real life. Jesus was talking about real love, tangible, committed love in action. And he himself was so committed to this love that this love that he was talking about, it cost him his life. his whole life. He gave his whole life in love of God for each of us. In 1 John 4:18, 4:19, it says that we love because God first loved us. We love because he first loved us. The love of God calls us into faithfulness, to respond in action, in love, just the same. And so let us love. Let us love the Lord our God with all our hearts, all our souls, and with all our might. Amen.